evening, folks, if you're just joining us. Well, okay. Just making sure. It just seemed a little off there with the different point in the intro song that we had for the second hour here. Making sure it's all on the up and up. But yeah, we're here, folks, and good evening if you are just joining us. We are here, Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Hour two of the broadcast. And again, this is the 4th of April, 2024. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and we have James in Vancouver here with us tonight. And when you refer to the block, that it's going forward, James, I assume you're referring to this Eurasian shift, BRICS. You know, these alternatives to SWIFT, you know, this whole Eastern sphere, which has developed, yes?
Exactly right. By the way, before I forget, it was Francisco Franco who was the fascist leader of Spain. He died 20th November, 1975. And then David Bowie said, no, I'm not giving up the satellite, the phone satellite. Okay, back to the war.
Yes. Well, I mean, so again, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, we have to really verify further, even that these quotes we have were stated, like Press TV, at least. You know, I can't say I've even double checked there in these recent days. I mean, but I mean, well, people talk a lot about, you know, RT, you like the U.S. branches of it, of course, being more Western influenced, of course. I don't know about Press TV, the English speaking versions we get, if it's as, you know, hardcore pro-Iranian as whatever they have over there, or not, or if it's, you know, if perhaps. Rather, it could be similar to what we hear about RT. But, yeah, regardless, I agree with you. I don't think Iran will do something. And if we are told that something is blamed on them, or, you know, some group takes credit, we're supposed to believe, you know, like this in this Moscow attack where allegedly ISIS is taking credit for it. You heard about that, James, right?
Again, ISIS is taking credit for what again? I missed it.
It was in Moscow. What was it? Like a train station or a central station?
Yeah. Rock concert or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
It's hard to know what all that's about. I mean, yes, there could have been a terrorist attack, but then you've got the United States saying we warned Russia there was going to be attack, but the Russians didn't pay any mind. Oh. Okay. Well, if you knew that, the Russians knew that, see? See, I mean, the Russians don't know anything. I don't think so. I think they got just as good a surveillance system as we have, and maybe better.
Well, there's plenty of fear over here, of course, just by that little bit. For as far as those who are just, you know, hardcore Israeli government supporters, basically, you know, APAC supporters. They're talking about how it's affecting the stock market in the one Zero Hedge article. Fear of imminent Iran response drives Haven bid. And News Squawk U.S. Market Wrap is talking about how it's affecting crude oil and how fears of Iran response drive risk off. And they're you know, just mentioning some rates and stocks in particular going higher or lower as a result. And,
okay, well, let me ask you, what's the Dow doing in light of these so-called Iranian threats? Did the Dow go up or down?
Yeah, no, I couldn't say.
Oh, that would be the thing to check, because if the Dow doesn't go down, that means the insiders don't believe it.
Hmm.
If the threat is real, then the insiders will dump their stock, because the insiders tend to know what's really going to happen before I'm an average mortal now. I used to be super, no. But you see, this is how it goes. So the numbers on these indexes. Now, of course, when the war is, when people talk about war, the price of oil goes up, but that's because that extra oil price goes into paying for more weapons. That's the counter trade thing. See? So, but if you were going to have an all-out nuclear war, then everybody would get out of the market. Stocks would make sense. I want a gold, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to gold. And then the price of gold should shoot up.
Okay, interesting observation that.
Yeah, well, just it's an idea.
Well, here, we should probably make use of some other topics outside of the...
Sure. What about callers? Do we have anybody on the line?
Oh, you know, we'll maybe take some callers possibly near the end if they call. But
Okay.
Well, hey, I have here, let's see, the corporate media is trotting out another alleged bird flu apocalypse. Now that we had just some Texas dairy worker falling ill.
Yeah.
And yeah, but no, it's not, bird flu is back in the news, and they're trying to, you know, milk it. They're saying experts are warning a bird flu pandemic could be, quote, 100 times worse than COVID, unquote.
Yeah. So I should take my parrot out and kill it, should I?
Well, no, we should leave all farming to big parrot. Big factory farms are the only ones who know how to deal with poultry. So, yeah, you know, it's probably another attack on...
kill the chickens. So there's no more... Ooh, yes, that would be a good idea.
Well, yeah, they want the lab-grown meat and plant-based, and Gates and Schwab have a lot of investment in... And a lot of that. Here's an interesting stat.
Okay.
America's favorite beer brand is Mexican. They're saying at this point, when they look at all the beers, Corona is actually, now at the top. Based on just, the amount of Hispanics in the country, legally or illegally, and then even... people of, you know, Caucasian and other races, I'm sure, influenced by marketing and the culture to go with that. So I don't know. Yeah, it's just just one more microcosm of the macrocosm. You know, just indicative of a changing culture for Corona to be the most popular beer in the country.
Well,
not that I've ever been a beer person myself. What's that?
If I could. I could recommend a very good beer, and that is the Japanese Sapporo label beer. Sapporo. Fantastic beer.
Okay. All right.
It's they even have it up in Canada. They make it in Canada. No, it's fantastic. So,
I must say, when I have enjoyed, like my father, he was spent some time in Germany when he was in military, they just drafted during peacetime. And then that era, it was like pre-Nam, you know, if anything, he would have been like Korean War, but an appreciation certainly of like the
Germany,
German beer appreciation passed on to me. So like something like Beck's or even like Heineken, I would go for, if anything, if I was indulging with someone.
I think Heineken is Dutch. Where was your father stationed in Germany?
Oh no, I don't remember. I don't remember what he may have said offhand.
If it was Munich, the Munich the beer in Munich tastes like cream, Hofbrauhaus. Hmm. One of the places where the Nazis started, Hofbrauhaus. It's fantastic beer. Just tastes like cream. And
interesting.
Wonderful, wonderful beer. It doesn't have that bitter taste. Yeah, fantastic.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, I'd be curious to try that sometime.
You got
See what else. Yeah. Climate Alarmists Bad Science. They have some debunking going on out there about, well, yeah, it's no surprise we've known this all along. You know, ever since, like, well, Al Gore was big in, what did it go back to? Was it like early 90s or did it go back to even like the late 80s that Al Gore was involved in helping to promote this? You know, the fear that, like, you know, well, you're going to melt the poles because of global warming from humans. And then, like, the coastlines, right, are going to be much higher from all that melted ice. And so we're going to lose most of the coastal states and all this.
Well, there's going to be a pole shift and Planet X is going to come in and it's going to raise the ocean several hundred feet and who knows what.
Right, right.
I'm quoting from a source here, but and of course the eclipse is coming. And there's going to be some super thing happening there because electromagnetic waves are much more powerful than gravity. I heard this last night on another network. Well, because the electromagnetic force is more powerful, then there will be more damage during the eclipse than would be otherwise. And since the gravitational force is so weak, there will be no real effect, you see. These guys, it's quantum mechanical, it's quantum mechanical. Yet none of them have ever done any quantum mechanics, but they read some books, and they talk about this and that, and, so-and-so doesn't really understand quantum mechanics, and since he has a Nobel Prize, well, you don't understand it either. See, this one guy was on this show a couple of days ago. I hung up.
Boy, here's another I wanted to get out there.
Yeah.
Janet Yellen, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, has arrived in China for a 6-day visit. And so she said this trip was necessary to, quote, advance America's economic and national security interests, unquote. Mm-hmm. So, but it was basically a high-stakes economic meeting in China that our Treasury Secretary arrived for. Miss Yellen landed in the southern Chinese export hub of Guangzhou on Thursday afternoon.
Guangzhou. And then what?
Before her arrival, she took to social media an X to explain the objectives. Quote, during my time in China, I'll focus on advancing a healthy economic relationship that provides a level playing field for American workers and firms and furthering cooperation on shared challenges like illicit finance and climate change, unquote, she wrote. And so she said actually her trip aims to press her Chinese counterparts on Washington's concerns about the regime's unfair trade practices and industrial overcapacity, which poses a threat to economies across the world, James.
Yeah, well, okay, so the fact that she was, hang on now, the fact that she was advised to land in Guangzhou and not Beijing, the capital, tells you that Xi Jinping doesn't give a damn about Janet Yellen or anything she has to say, and he's going to let a bunch of his yahoos handle her. And if she can survive the trip, Beijing, well, then maybe he might have his deputy minister talk to her, see? So you have to see how she's being treated to know whether she's got, whether the Chinese perceive that she has any power. Back to you.
Okay. See how that goes? Interesting, because I mean, not the capital. Yeah. They referred to it, it as an export hub that Guangzhou, but Guangzhou.
Well, they had to save face. What's she going to do? Talk to the ships? You know, I mean, the guys that make these news things up, they think, well, they must think other people are stupid. But having lived with the Chinese for more than 40 years, they're very calculating. Xi Jinping wants nothing to do with her. Right? But go ahead.
Well, she did not rule out the possibility the Biden administration would impose tariffs or other trade barriers on China to protect U.S. green energy and its industries negatively impacted by China's overproduction.
Well, yeah, I just was going to say, they just said that she's going to talk about global warming or greening or whatever the heck that is. The Chinese don't want anything to do with that either, right? So she's just spinning the wheels, right? She's like a, what did I say, wind-up toy, right?
Well, I got a quote from her here, too.
What is she saying?
Quote, we are trying to nurture an industry in, for example, solar cells, electric batteries, electric vehicles.
Yeah.
And these are actually all areas where we think that massive investment in China is creating some overcapacity, she said during this stopover in Alaska.
Yeah.
I got a quote from her. I wouldn't want to rule out other possible ways in which we would protect them, she says. Ms. Yellen will start her mission by meeting with Wang Weizhou. Weizhong, the provincial governor of Guangdong, and Vice Premier He Lifeng, who oversees China's economic and financial systems on Friday, according to the schedule released by her department. She'll have additional talks with the former Vice Premier Liu He, who retired from China's leadership last year but was said to remain an influence on policymaking. She'll also sit down with representatives from American businesses operating in China. She confronted the Chinese communist regime's coercive measures against U.S. firms during her first visit to China as Treasury Secretary last July. Following that trip, her department set up two working groups with China's financial ministry to deal with economic and financial issues. Yeah, first visit as Treasury Secretary last July. You know, let's remember that this is someone from the Fed, and we have revolving doors with the Biden administration slash a continuation of Obama administration, some call it, and the Federal Reserve, this private institution. So it's like, you know, they're totally in bed with the money men, the money changers, it sounds like, the Biden administration, to have, Yellen coming over to them. Wouldn't you say, James?
Well, the fact that she made this statement in Alaska, she probably stopped in Anchorage, then got in the airplane and flew all the way over Beijing and farther down and landed at the bottom of China to start her northward trudge to Beijing because she thinks she's going to talk to Xi Jinping, but he's not going to talk to her because, first of all, she's not the president of the United States. And so it doesn't look, it's the protocol isn't there. He doesn't have to meet her. See? The farthest she's going to get is some minister or something. And then it's going to ground to a halt. And then she's come back with.
Well, they're worried about, a lot of these things being sold at low prices. From the Chinese.
Yeah, of course. Yes. And all of the things, yes. And the Chinese will do nothing.
The whole term industrial overcapacity is key to understanding, like the legalese, these Western leaders are using in this. China is seeking to boost its slowing economy by pumping more cash into the manufacturing sectors at a time of weak demand at home. Western economies have become increasingly wary of a flood of cheap China-made products being dumped on the international market, especially in clean energy sectors such as solar panels and electric vehicle batteries. Ahead of her trip, Ms. Yellen warned that Beijing's state subsidies have resulted in substantial overinvestment and excess capacity in steel, aluminium, and other sectors, which has prompted Chinese manufacturers to sell their products overseas at low prices and force businesses in the rest of the world to contract. We have this quote here. Quote, now we see excess capacity building in new industries like solar, EVs, and lithium ion batteries. Unquote, Ms. Yellen said during a visit to the solar module plant in Georgia. It was shut down due to cheap Chinese imports. Well, they say cheap, That's just inexpensive. It doesn't mean low quality, but they're trying to make it sound like that. You know what I mean? Anyhow, quote, we have raised overcapacity in previous discussions with China, and I plan to make it a key issue in discussions during the rest during my next trip there, unquote, she said. Quote, I will press my Chinese counterparts to take necessary steps to address this issue, unquote. Yeah. So there you have it. She's gonna bring the hammer down on the Chinese manufacturers.
Okay, now I understand your question more. Is that the fact of the matter is that the big money boys are making money with China by doing their flooding? Okay, all of the big shots in the banking industry. Okay, they've already got these deals with China. It's just that people don't see them or they don't announce them. But if the United States was really hot to trot on getting its manufacturing back, then the investment bankers would invest in that in those positions. But what's happening in the United States in the cities and in the infrastructure and killing the chicken farms, you see? Because everything indicates that the United States is set to slide down because the investment bankers don't want to invest in the United States. And I got to see when they're ever going to rebuild the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Because I don't think they might do it for a while until they get financing. See? Because they intended to knock that bridge down. Just like they... Last February of 2023, I phoned the New Palestine guys up because the rail cars fell off and there was this big spill, right? That was done on purpose. The chicken farms are being done on purpose, see? And bringing all those migrants illegally into the United States, that's being done on purpose. Nothing there is going to help with America's task of getting its manufacturing back. If anything, it's going to detract from that because the investors won't get involved. People are leaving New York, right? Who's going to invest in New York with all that crime? It's probably done on purpose. No cash bail system in New York City. I can go out, I can commit a felony, I got arrested, and in 10 minutes I'm kicked loose. I don't have to bring a bond. I don't have to get a bond. See? And they got the Alvin Bragg, this hotshot district attorney, and he won't press charges because he's got a problem. See?
Well, and it's bad on the West Coast as well in these progressive cities.
Yeah.
I was going to mention Washington.
Sure.
Even on the state level, Washington's getting a bad beat. Really, Seattle kind of eventually affected the whole state. Woke Washington State is creating a hate crime hotline so the triggered can tattle.
Yeah.
I got a video on that.
So Janet Yellen, that the Chinese in America call their relatives in China and Taiwan and saying, hey man, it's going down. See?
That seems like
talk to Chinese.
I don't know if you're walking further away from your Wi-Fi or your signal was cutting in and out a little.
No, it's AI. It's AI that's cutting me off because I'm making some good points. Okay? The Chinese people of Canada and the United States talk to their brethren across the Pacific Ocean and they trade information every day. The NSA knows this. Okay? So this is the real meat and potatoes of the deal, is that we're up against forces. And then no amount of BS on the wire service is going to change that. You see, this is my point. So the fact he was dumped in Guangzhou. Go ahead.
Well, I had a bit more. I won't go through all of it, but
it goes on.
It goes on quite a bit.
Well, no,
I can do a little more. I can do a little more from it. According to a renewable energy forecast report published by the International Energy Agency in January, China nearly doubled solar panel manufacturing capabilities in 2023, creating what the agency called a global supply glut. So this right. was while reducing its solar module prices by almost 50%. And so, yeah, you know, this yeah. is the green agenda can't oppress us if people can just buy things that aren't green compliant very inexpensively from China, which we would like to do. You know, I mean, I don't. It's totally against the people, this green agenda. And it's amazing because, well, at least what China is willing to sell to us is less oppressive than our own people are trying to be to us. Everything we've all grown up hearing about China. So it's just very ironic in that regard. The European Union is moving closer to imposing tariffs on battery EVs from China. In a documented release in March, the European Commission, the EU's executive branch, said it found sufficient evidence to show that Chinese authorities subsidy an EV industry. It also found massive imports of electric cars from China in a relatively short period of time, saying the imports rose by 14% since it opened its probe. And so, let's see, an investigation into smart cars is being launched by the U.S. Commerce Department, increasing tariffs on EVs originating from China. And they're worried China, tariffs won't alone address the issue, but there are signs that China will not respond to Ms. Yellen's concerns. China's hawkish state-run outlet Global Times called U.S. overcapacity concerns, quote, astray from facts, unquote, and, quote, an ill-intended campaign to smear China, unquote, in an article published April 3rd while quoting a Chinese researcher. And then Chinese ties, Ms. Yellen's trip marks start of another round of the Biden administration's diplomatic engagement with the Chinese communist regime ahead of the U.S. elections in November. It goes on more, but you get the gist, James, if you have any final thoughts on this piece.
Well, in the words of George Herbert Walker Bush, too little, too late.
But you were spot on, because they're saying the same thing you are, that China's not going to listen to them whatsoever.
Too little, too late. Mm-hmm. Don't mind telling you.
But, I mean, really, the green agenda...
The
green agenda is to oppress us. I mean, the Chinese people are already, living like paupers and used to it. It's over here in the West that there's an agenda to make us, be happy with less, so that those in power can have more.
Right. Well, maybe Donald Trump can do it, because sine qua non. If not for Trump, then no way.
We heard about how the strategic petroleum reserves kept getting tapped into by Biden, and of course, conveniently around whenever elections, like the midterm elections of 2022, for example, he timed that well to lower gas, force gas prices globally lower due to, us selling what should be our, emergency reserves. It's dreadfully low because of that already. It shouldn't really be legal for him to do a non-emergency. Because they're trying to have their cake and eat it too with this green agenda, and it's demonizing so-called fossil fuels for all the wrong reasons, James.
Yeah, well, America has got tons of oil. There's no oil shortage. That's another thing they're making up.
Well, here, we have
get
to
get back to you on the
other side. Stick around.
Yeah, they just turned the taps off. That's all. There's America's got tons of oil.
We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap. That's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Here on Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with James in Vancouver. And yeah, just throwing some related headlines quickly here, James. Well, I mean, certainly under so-called Bidenomics, you know, the terrible economic conditions we've had. And again, the green agenda is one of the ways things have been made worse. Also, just a lot of ridiculous money printing. It really did start with like the COVID lockdown bailout money printing, but ever since then, you know, just the amount for anything and everything, and for all these woke agendas, certainly the amount of money, always plenty to the military industrial complex, let's not forget. But a lot of bad indicators out there as far as just where the economy and even the markets are going to tank toward quite uncharted territory with the depths we're going to be reaching. We know we had the most job cuts once again since over a year ago. In March, we had the most job cuts since January 2023. So, you know, it's still getting worse and worse still out there. They're asking, is this pushing too hard? You know, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve draining to combat Biden's energy policies. Currently, though, we have a crude oil up 73%. Under Biden, food up 21%, rent up 19.4%, cocoa up 136%, mortgage rates up 156%. And, of course, a lot of the inflation never counts for necessities like food and fuel. How ridiculous. And it does affect everything, you know, even like the trucking to get things to the stores and all that. But, yeah, this main headline and story, James, again, U.S. gas prices hit high levels in 6 months amid speculation Biden will drain more oil from petroleum reserve. At the moment, he seemed to be pausing, and so we'll see. But now you had some more thoughts on that. I mean, you're saying, well, the market is deliberately fixed, you were texting me. And you're saying, yep, that there's no shortage. I mean, yeah, a lot of people will talk about this. David Scorpio, for one, always talks about how, like, the so-called fossil fuels, there's no scarcity in them, and their origin is not from what they say. It's something that's constantly being replenished. You agree with that as well?
Well, yeah, Les, if you go to the port of Vancouver right now, in a place called English Bay, you'll see 15 or 20 tankers sitting there waiting to get filled, and they're being sent to China. The oil field that supplies those tankers comes from Alberta, and that oil field is 51% owned by Exxon.
And to clarify, though, you don't believe that it's a limited supply from the remains of dinosaurs that could be used up any time now?
Mm-hmm. No, that is all, boy, that was old man Rockefeller's deal. Mm-hmm. I tell him, it's a carbon, yeah, but it comes from dinosaurs, so there's no limit. All of that oil and all that carbon comes out of the sun. It all came out of the sun or a star. That Earth was spun out of a star. I'm not sure it was this star we got, but it was spun out of a star because you need high pressure to do nuclear fusion. You just can't push the protons together and the neutrons, say, I got a carbon atom, here you go, right? That can't be done on Earth. So all the carbon we got originally came from the sun or some star. Hans Bethe got the 1967 Nobel Prize for that carbon-carbon cycle.
No, that's interesting. We'll have to take that direction more often as well. You know, I have to remember all the scientific routes we could go with your background. Yes. We have a couple callers, it seems now, though, in the wings for you. First one we have in the queue for you tonight, James, it is none other than Tom in Utah. Tom, hello. Hey, good evening, sir. And what is on your mind tonight?
Actually, sorry to take you back to yesterday. I tried to call in. You were talking about the courts in New Jersey or Illinois. And affected the return of children in a dozen cases. The one case I could never get to happen correctly was in Chicago, Rogers Park. I just wanted to tell you that two little girls were taken from a family. They ended up in CPS care in Illinois. And during they were in until they aged out, and they actually experienced a half a dozen abortions apiece while they were in state custody. So what does that tell you? It was falling in line with exactly what you were talking about yesterday when I tried to get in, just to confirm the fact that the most evil CPS organization in the United States is Illinois, Chicago.
Wow, it really is that bad. Well, no, thank you for more confirmation of that, and firsthand information. And you know, Tom, I actually was talking with James recently. If you wouldn't mind, we could still probably enjoy. I think the listeners, if you gentlemen would like to get on together over some topics you've had some discussions over. I don't know, would you be up for that, Tom, like doing a show with James here sometime soon?
Well, I'm game for anything. I'll take anybody on.
Well, thank you for your support.
I'm taking on the best.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to see that story about the two children in Chicago, go to familyversusstate.org or go to gassyamerica.com. It'll link over to familyversusstate.org. And there'll be a portion of that page that talks about the two girls from Illinois. And it was really sad because Ayala, the mother, and I actually had a sit face-to-face with the senator from Illinois when he was senator. And then I actually ended up doing face-to-face twice more with him with the National Congress of American Indians. And I'm sure you know who that senator was.
Okay.
No, I don't. You mentioned it one time before. I forgot. Sorry.
Yeah, no, ahead. I don't actually either.
But Tom did mention
Barack Obama.
Oh yeah, of course. And of course, Obama.
Yeah, he didn't like me at all.
They've been paid off by the lobby. They'll just sit there and listen to you. Go yes, yes, yes. Well, they're counting their money in the back room.
Eh? Anyway, I love it was a sad case. Sad case for me because, in fact, they threatened to arrest me, but my attorney general told them to go to hell.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. What happened with your eyes? If you don't mind me asking, were you physically assaulted? Or was that something else? Yeah, well, it's sorry about that. But that's
they didn't like my information. I was exposing the poisoning of 34 million, and it still is continuing.
Yeah.
You know, you've been to gassingamerica.com, I'm assuming, and all the other word links from that. But anyway,
I remember you saying it was due to the activism, regarding the poisoning of people in their manufactured homes, where the the dangerous outtake is too close to the clean air intake, basically, and
I thought they would be appreciative of that disclosure, but in fact they were not appreciative at all. In fact, especially when I interfered with the decommissioning of those FEMA trailers from Katrina. They were going to profit off of those trailers, selling them off to the World Health Organization, and we put a stop to that. And that night is when I got visited and readjusted visually.
That's a billion-dollar industry. But
they don't like
when I was in high school, go ahead. When I was in high school, I did an experiment with styrofoam, and I showed that styrofoam on a metal housing, which is exposed to sunlight, will secrete gas, and that will be toxic to the people inside the building. This was insulation used for garages, and they were wondering where this odor and this, and they had watering eyes and choking and whatnot. So I took it to a lab, and we did it on a burner, and yes. Styrofoam is a dangerous, dangerous material. So,
well, you know, the inventor of styrofoam is John Huntsman. He was running Huntsman Cancer Institute out here in Utah, which is kind of bizarre.
Oh, really?
In fact, he was an associate up at the university with us. And I went right in his face and I said, you know, your styrofoam is deadly. He didn't particularly appreciate that. I mean, you make enemies all along the way whenever you speak or expose the truth.
Oh, yeah, a lot of these things are so dangerous that they act like are so such great inventions. Teflon, for example, like the coating on the pans, nonstick coating, that's very dangerous. Well, no, yeah.
Utah man. That was another Utah inventor.
Oh, yeah?
John Huntsman invented styrofoam, and then I forget the name of the gentleman who did Teflon, but he was right here in Salt Lake. Hmm. I was attached with a scientist that was contracted by NASA when Teflon came into being. So,
that's one of connected with Dow Chemical. Polystyrene, Dow Chemical, Huntsman, 1965.
We probably have an interesting like series of shows with you two gentlemen together, with a combination of your two backgrounds, frankly. Fascinating to collaborate. Well, no, thank you, Tom. We'll have to chat again soon.
Thanks, Tom.
I'm glad you moved out of Chicago.
Thank you. I certainly agree.
The windy city.
Thanks for the sentiment. And have a good evening, sir. And we'll arrange that soon with the two of you. If that sounds good.
All righty.
All right. Okay, cool.
Thank you, Tom.
And let's go to Jerry in Chicago. Hey, Jerry. Hey, good evening. Hey, thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Interesting show. Hey, you guys are talking about German beers. This will be real quick. Wurzburger, Warsteiner, Ackershore, and Julius Echter are going to be your top four German beers. Weisstefaner is another good one, but it's too expensive for me. It's $13 a six pack. That's all I wanted to say. You guys have a good evening.
Cool. All right.
Okay,
thank you. Yeah, no, nice to add to the topics we were presenting here. And always good to hear from Jerry. He always has some good on point info. Dan in Washington. Hey, good to hear from you, Dan. Hey, what's on your mind today?
I just wanted to call and respond to Joe's call yesterday. And, sorry, I didn't mean to offend Catholics. I like Joe. He's a good caller. But I would say in defense of Catholics, when I was looking into different denominations and stuff, the Catholics actually accept science over the Bible. Because they have doctrine that they killed Galileo for saying the earth was round. So, it was like 100 years later or something, but they actually said, hey, if science contradicts the Bible, we're going to go with science. So, it's Catholic Church actually, so he was kind of right when he said that the Protestant churches don't accept science, but Catholic churches do in a way, so you don't have to quite be a believer to be a Catholic in a sense, like as far as taking the Bible literally. But I will give the credit to, which is kind of Jeremy has a different take. That's why he doesn't like the Catholic Church, because he believes in the faith. The Baptists teach you got to have faith over doing good works. Which I think he's right in interpreting that way, but I agree with more of the Catholic that if you do good works and don't quite have all the faith, then that's okay too. Probably better for society than people that just have faith but don't do good works, like George Bush, or a lot of the Zionist Christians or evangelicals and stuff, so...
And well, when you say have faith, from what I understand of both Jeremy and the I forget the one pastor's name, he plays the most more than doing works, like your actions, that is in their view accepting Jesus Christ, and the accounts of his time here as being the Son of God. That being part of when you say the faith. But then if someone does that, but then they don't have any works, they don't have anything positive they're doing, they're just like a criminal and murderer and parasite and predator, and yeah, then that's messed up.
Yeah,
it's not going to help. But overall, I mean, what you're saying about Christianity as something that's needed for society. Some claim that even the Third Reich felt that way, even if some of the upper ones were more into like Nietzsche, you hear about like Hitler and some of his guys. I don't know. James, do you want in on some of this?
Well, real quick, I didn't say it's needed for society. I was just defending the Catholic Church in that regard. I've got to the point where if Europe converted to Buddhism, it might actually be a better thing. I mean, I hate The good part about Catholics, though, is like, say, evolution or the creation stories, you can still technically be a Catholic if you don't believe in that. And the reason Protestants get on my nerves is because they try to take that to the extreme, where faith means you have to believe in Noah's Ark, stuff like that, you know. But as I wasn't saying that, you know, it's needed. I used to think it was needed, but not anymore.
I don't think it's needed, but I might be in the minority among our folk. James, I don't know. What would you like to comment on any of these related topics Stan and I were addressing?
Well, I was born and raised in the Catholic Church, and I defer you to people like Cardinal Richelieu and other power brokers that even Henry Kissinger is on record for having adored. So when it comes to the church, a couple of years ago, what did the Pope say about the vaccines? What did he, you know, this is how it goes, right? Yeah, to the vaccine, something like that, right? So it's big money and power, and it's been going for 2,000 years, and when you do the interest calculations over 2,000 years, the Roman Catholic Church has got to be hands down the richest organization in the world. So there's my comment.
Oh, by the way, I think Pastor Anderson, I believe, is the one Jeremy frequents and has similar views to Jeremy.
Anderson, huh?
Yeah, he's pretty nice, pretty good. You know, I mean, as far as his values, and he'll talk about he doesn't shun away from talking about, you know, the Jewish power component as well. You know, and I have to admire that. You know, he'll talk about. He'll talk about some Jews.
But there's no Vatican power. No Vatican power. It's all Jewish. Okay,
Dan? That's a good point. Good point about the vaccine, though. And you know, the only leader that defended basically race, the only one that said we got to stop immigration into Germany to protect the German race, and he even said that about England too. It's becoming diverse. That was the Dalai Lama. That's what got me on the Buddhist thing. You know, like if the Dalai Lama is going to defend the racism, maybe it'd be better.
One of my professors, when I did my master's degree, he was my professor in the Chinese Communist Party in Taiwan. He's personal friends with the Dalai Lama. His name is Lin Zhongpin. Surname Lin, and the Chong-pin. He's on Facebook. You can see him. Lin Zhongpin.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, like the Russian Orthodox Church actually defends the Russian people a little bit, but as far as Catholics or Baptists at this point, I don't know if they do much good right now, but. And if you don't believe the Noah's Ark story and all that junk, I mean, there's not that much to it. I think the Buddhists or Japanese probably have a lower divorce rate and just as moral people, you know.
Let's bring up the point: who is sponsoring all those illegals crossing the Rio Grande in Mexico into United States illegally? One of the people is the Roman Catholic Church and these charity organizations they got.
Oh, yeah.
So
the bad Baptists are horrible, too.
They're obviously, they don't care about America. They just care about what the church says, because with all of these people coming from South America, well, then the population of the church in America will be greater, see? They got like one speed, two speeds, stop and super fast, right? This is all they care about.
Yeah.
You know, to hell with the quality of life.
Right, yeah. If they're not going to defend their race, I mean, at some point you have to defend things based on a race or tribe or whatever. Well, and if they're not going to do that.
It's the rule of law. It's the rule of law. You can't go shoplifting like they're doing in New York City from Venezuela. You can't go in and load up and say, well, I'm out of here now, hombre. And, I'll come back and pay you later, right? Or I got a gun. You see, this is New York's going crazy. Right? The rule of law is gone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, they, the religious leader, I like the clarity of the Dalai Lama when he said that. He was in an interview, and you just don't hear people like Billy Graham or the Pope or anything talking like normal people. They just, they're in a, like you're saying, they're always pushing an agenda that's not.
Well, they're set to make money off this. The Vatican is set to make money, and all the Vatican's clients who the Vatican lends money to are in on it too, see? Because what it does is it's making the price of America go down so the short sellers like Soros can buy it back up for 2 cents on the dollar. That's what's happening. See?
Yeah, I can see that. All right, I don't know if there's other callers. It was a good show, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I don't want other take up too much time.
Yeah, no, there aren't any other callers. I mean, we got another like minute or two. I mean, yeah, and I always like to hear James.
Can I ask Dan a question?
Sure.
Dan, you're in the trucking business, right? What's this electric trucks going to do? They're crazy to use electric trucks. Can you tell us something about that? Hello? Hello?
Oh, maybe he did hang up. Maybe he thought we...
Hang up. Okay, all right, all right.
Oh, he just, he dropped one way or another.
That's a good question. For the next time he calls, you can ask him, right? What about these electric trucks? They're going to run havoc with truckers if they're not already.
And he mentioned Japan. I know that you have a lot of time you've spent in the Far East, more like China, isn't that right? Or closer to China?
Yeah, well, I learned how the Chinese operate. Right, in terms of protocols. Janet Yellen was dropped in the rear end of China. I won't be too vulgar, but a lot of people in the north of China think that place is a chicken's rear end.
So it was kind of an insult right off the bat to the senator there.
Yes.
And they're all about honor and how things, appearances and how things... In Asian culture.
Appearances are everything.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, hey, we'll have to chat again soon. And thank you. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Appreciate you joining.
You too, and we'll get together soon.
Great. And folks, please support Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on that donate page. And if you are able to donate, just by phone, please 800-724-2719, extension 3. Help us out so that we will speak again soon. And until then, transcend the construct. Regards.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.